Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and some of you may be interested in my Wednesday night television show where web video meets the issues. Tonight, it's another full hour of web video content related to the presidential campaign. That's tonight at 7:30 on CUNY TV, Channel 75, on the New York City cable systems. Well, a Burger King Whopper has 670 calories, including 60% of your fat for the day, plus 51 grams of carbs. A slice of Papa John's pepperoni pizza has less than half the calories and only a third of the fat. But maybe you'd rather not know. We will look now at Mayor Bloomberg's latest proposal for fast food chains to post calorie counts and how they plan to resist. And we will talk about the new revelations about mercury in tuna sushi. Joining me now are two guests. Marion Burrows is a reporter for The New York Times. Her article on mercury in sushi is on the front page today. And Marion Nessel, professor of nutrition food studies and public health at NYU. Hey, this might be the first time we've had two Marions on the same show. Marion Burrows, Marion Nessel, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
And Marion Burrows, let me start with you. You sent sushi to a lab and had it tested?
Yes.
Did you suspect something?
Yes.
Tell us.
Well, there have been other very small studies, even smaller than ours, and conversations with people who are experts at this, indicating that tuna, bluefin tuna particularly, is very, very high in mercury, and very few people, and certainly no government agencies, have been dealing with this. They keep talking about canned tuna because they're particularly interested in what most people eat, and also to protect women who are likely to become pregnant and children. Most children don't eat bluefin tuna sushi, but some do, and they probably shouldn't be, but either should adults, as it turns out. The story was really about the problems that we are beginning to understand about high mercury and its impact on adults, because all we've ever looked at is the children and young women. But I thought it would be very interesting to people and might be shocking enough that they'd read the whole thing and think about it if we could find out what was really in these tuna sushi they get in many restaurants.
You say kids don't eat it. I've told this story on the air before.
Oh, but they do.
This is one of those only in New York things. I was walking down a Manhattan street, and I saw a mother lean over to a squirming, probably four-year-old in a stroller and said, "If you don't settle down, no sushi tonight." So that's how you know you're walking in Manhattan.
The thing is that it's tuna sushi that children generally like better, and people who are not big sushi eaters will eat when they may not eat other kinds of sushi.
So crunch the numbers for us a little bit. What did your lab find?
We found that of the levels of mercury in a number of the sushis that we tested were well above what is called the acceptable level by the Food and Drug Administration. If the Food and Drug Administration wanted to, it could remove that kind of tuna from the market. It doesn't, but it could. It has the authority. We also found that what is called, what the EPA calls a reference dose, the level at which it's okay to have mercury in your system, a small amount, and above that it's probably not a good idea, was broken by most of the sushi restaurants and even a couple of the grocery stores. Grocery stores are less likely to have high mercury in their tuna sushi.
Really?
Because they don't use bluefin generally.
Uh-huh, because bluefin is considered a higher quality for taste?
It is. It's a larger fish, and because it's a larger fish, it has more years in which it has been able to accumulate this mercury from eating small fish.
So in general, supermarket sushi actually has less mercury than tuna sushi from upscale restaurants.
From most restaurants, not just necessarily the most upscale.
Uh-huh.
But still, the amount, you would have to eat more of this tuna from the grocery stores, but it's still not low, except in a couple of cases.
Mary Nessel, how much would we have to consume to be at risk?
Well, the FDA and EPA say 6 ounces a week of these high mercury fish. There are really only 5 fish that anybody has to worry about for mercury, and these are the big ones, and they're king mackerel, swordfish, tilefish, shark, and then these really big tuna. I mean, this is one of the situations where the cheapest tuna is probably the best one to eat. But what you really want is you really want people eating small fish. You don't want them eating big ones.
And for listeners who may be interested, we've linked to an interesting webpage on our site. It's the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch page, which helps consumers determine what kinds of fish to eat, as well as how to link your diet to sustainability of the planet. If
can
you
I,
want
can I
link to that,
let me
just tell people they can go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show for that link. But did you want to say something about that, Marion?
Yeah, I want to say that I think while the Monterey Bay is good, the one that's even better, for more useful, especially in terms of mercury and other contaminants,
uh-huh,
is the one that the Environmental Defense has. Monterey uses Environmental Defense figures for what it puts out there, and it's perfectly
uh-huh
good. But the one from Environmental Defense is even more useful.
Okay. So for people who want to do that, I think it's edf.org. But Mary Nessel, go ahead.
Yeah, it's been interesting that the environmental and health people have not really gotten together on fish advisories. So the issues seem enormously complicated, but they're really not that complicated because there really are only 5 fish you have to worry about. The rest of them are very low in mercury.
We can take phone calls for Marion Burroughs from the New York Times or Marion Nessel from NYU, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, a comment or a question. And let's take a question right now from Adam in Glen Rock. You're on WNYC. Hi, Adam.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right.
My question is, the mercury that we're talking about, is this all from pollution, is some of this naturally occurring? And that's what I wanted to know.
That's a good question. Professor Nessel, do you know where
sure
this mercury comes
yeah
from?
Yeah, about 40%, about 60% of it is naturally occurring, and it comes from volcanoes and things that you can't do anything about. But about 40% of it is from coal-burning power plants and other industrial places that you could do something about. And one of the easiest ways is to cut down on the mercury in the ocean is to put cleaning processes in these coal-burning power plants. And it's been very, very interesting politically because the Bush administration has been very reluctant to do that except years from now. But this is something that could be done right away.
Let's take another call. Mike in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good morning. I know that one of the reasons that people eat fish and a lot of times justify going to sushi restaurants is for the omega-3 fatty oils because they're supposed to be good for your heart. And just last night, I read and was really surprised to read that the fish actually don't generate these oils. They get it by eating algae and plankton. And then this article said, you know, if you eat collard greens or other leafy green vegetables, you can get the omega-3s just as well, and you don't have to load your body up with mercury or the cholesterol that's in the fatty tuna. So I'll take the answer off the air. Thank you
very much. Thank you. Dr. Nessel, I'll give you that one, too.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. You can get omega-3s from plants. They don't convert into the long-chain ones that are supposed to be good very easily. But lots and lots of fish that don't have much mercury in them have plenty of omega-3s, and salmon is a really good example.
Rachel,
I would like to say that we would prefer wild salmon because it doesn't run into the problem of what happens with farmed salmon, which is PCBs, which aren't good for you either. And one of the things that is amazing, but that people are always surprised to hear, is that all canned salmon is wild salmon. So when it's out of season or it's too expensive, you can just eat canned salmon. And if you treat it just the way you treat tuna in making a sandwich with the mayonnaise and the whatever else you put into it, it tastes pretty darn good.
I had wild salmon for dinner last night. It was fabulous. And
I bet.
Tip to parents, my 9-year-old who doesn't like the regular pink salmon, gobble this up. So who knows? Maybe we've got a protein trick there. Arthur in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Thank you, Brian. Two quick points. One of the two nonprofit organizations you mentioned, or even possibly a third one, has a poster identifying the fish that contain the most mercury. They've been distributing it all over the United States, and it's conspicuously absent from any of the fish stores I know about in Manhattan. It's amazing the way it disappears as soon as it comes onto this island. It's everywhere else. The second thing is, and I'd appreciate it if you'd identify the source of that poster for your listeners, just for their information. The second is, where is the New York City Department of Health in all this, if anywhere?
Marion Burroughs, where are they?
Well, they made a stronger recommendation in a report that they released earlier this year than the one from the Food and Drug Administration and the Environmental Protection Agency. They told women of childbearing age not to eat any tuna, or children as well, any fresh tuna. And no one else has really, no government agency has done that. So, no federal government agency. Mm. So they're right there. They had a big study done about levels of mercury in New York City people, and they discovered that we have higher levels in New York City than anywhere else in the country on the national average, and that it's particularly high among Asians, particularly foreign-born Chinese, and wealthier people who, I guess, like to eat swordfish and sushi.
Eileen and Teaneck, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eileen.
Hi. I just wonder if you could speak to us about canned tuna and if we have any mercury concerns with just regular shelf canned tuna from the store.
Who knows?
Yeah, well,
I can do that
one. Kind.
Yeah.
Mary Burroughs, go ahead.
First of all, the light tuna has a very low, generally very low levels of mercury. The light tuna, not the whiter albacore. That has somewhat higher levels. And also, some places are now selling tuna that comes in the can from very small fish. The smaller the fish, the lower the level of mercury. So those are things worth looking for, but as others have pointed out, never eat just one thing. You should always have variety in your diet because people have eaten, children, for instance, eating a tuna sandwich every day for lunch, they've had levels of mercury high enough, not only have had levels of mercury high enough to cause a form of mercury poisoning that affects you neurologically.
Mm-hmm. Mary Nessel, anything to add briefly to that?
Yeah, it should be. The canned tuna is made with very cheap tuna, and so that means it's small tuna, and it should be okay. But Consumer Reports did a study a year or so ago in which they found some level of mercury in the cans, and so I think the advice to go easy on it makes a lot of sense. You can eat some. You just shouldn't eat it all the time.
Including the light. Nancy?
Because they had found contaminants in it of parts of larger tuna.
Right.
Nancy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, yes, I am. I'm pregnant, and I love sushi, and most of the restaurants that I go to normally were on that list. But so I'm not eating sushi right now, but I have a seafood selector that my OBGYN had given me. And it's the most confusing thing in the world, so that I stay away from fish. Like, I can have halibut if it's Pacific and from Alaska. I can have Arctic char if it's farmed. I can't have Atlantic salmon if it's farmed. Do you think there's going to be a point where we actually see the fish that we get labeled from where it's from and how it got here? Because the other thing that concerned me was the New York Times article about farmed fish in China and how it comes to the United States. And so you often see farmed fish and think, oh, that was farmed. It has to be healthy. I mean, it has to be better than mercury and PCB-laden fish.
Marion, did you write that too?
Actually, I did. Yes, of course there should be labeling, and there's a group called Oceana, which is going to have a report coming out, I believe, next week, that is one of the things they're trying to do is force supermarkets to have signs in the store about what you should and shouldn't eat. And what you said, though, worries me a little bit, and this is what is part of the problem. If people find information about fish confusing and don't eat it, that's not good either. So it's worth taking the time to really investigate it because those omega-3 fatty acids are very, very helpful and useful.
How about tilapia? Nancy, is that on your
Tilapia is on my list. Let me see. I'll tell you what it says.
Because we have another caller who I don't have time to
it's
take.
It's the best choice if it's U.S. tilapia.
U.S. tilapia.
Yes.
How do we know?
How do you know when you go to
it's
a restaurant?
It's supposed to say.
Really?
We're supposed to have country of origin labeling for fish. The rule went into effect a couple of years ago, but it's one of the most widely ignored rules I've ever seen.
Close the borders to illegal immigrant fish.
Yeah, it's supposed to be labeled.
Of course, it's not in the restaurants. It's only in the stores, and that's part of the problem. I mean, you ask people in a store or in a restaurant, where is the fish from? They say
the Fulton Fish
Market.
Talking
a foreign language.
Yeah. They tell you it came from the fish market.
It came from that truck. All right.
Exactly.
We just have a few minutes, and I want to touch on the other food news that broke today. Mayor Bloomberg is trying again after having his first attempt struck down in court to have fast food chains, or I guess it's any restaurant chain that has at least 15 locations in New York City, to post calorie counts. And ironically, Marion Nestle, this is actually a broader requirement. That is, it encompasses more restaurants than the earlier one, and this is how the mayor thinks it's going to comply with the court. Yes?
Yes, that's exactly how he thinks it. I mean, we have something very unusual in New York City right now. We have a health commissioner who's actually interested in health. And a mayor who supports him. And so they are going great guns to try to do what they can to help New Yorkers eat more healthfully, and I think that's just terrific. I'm very interested to see what's going to happen when these calories get posted, because I think people are going to be floored when they find out how many calories are in these foods that they've been picking up thinking that they're really diet foods.
Diet foods? We're not talking just about Whoppers and Big Macs here?
Oh, we're talking about things like sandwiches that everybody thinks don't have any calories in them. I think people are going to be astounded.
Can you give me one example of something that people might think is a diet food but it's very high calorie?
The sandwiches at Subway's, for example.
They're supposed to be the model of good behavior because they post.
But who reads? And what happens when you put all those additives on them, which turn out to be a big problem? So here again, newspapers that have gone in and sent these things off to laboratories find, not necessarily Subway, but some of the others have more calories in them than anybody thinks. And I don't think that humans have a very good intuitive feel for the increase in number of calories that comes with larger portion sizes.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have lots of evidence to show that that's the case. People think if something comes in a unit, it's got 100 calories.
And
I think people are going to be really surprised when they find out how many those hundreds are.
Yeah, well, that's the new thing anyway, right? They sell these 100-calorie packs of Oreos and anything.
As long as you just eat one.
But that's right. And Marion Burroughs, the city's health commissioner, Thomas Friedman, said that he thought some restaurants might actually eliminate some items from their menus, like 2,000-calorie appetizers, rather than post the calorie content. You think that'll happen?
Maybe for a small while, and then people will forget. Let me just tell you about a restaurant. Two restaurants here in Washington, D.C., where you're speaking to me from.
Yeah.
It's not upscale, but it's a very, very nice restaurant, tablecloth restaurant, blah, 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 called, it'll come to me.
That's all right.
My
listeners aren't in Washington.
That's good publicity for them, right? They have calories and fat, et cetera, listed on the back of their nice little menus.
Uh-huh.
And the food is really very, very good. And I've only asked them in passing, does anybody use the back? And they say, oh, yes, they do. And I said, does it ever turn anyone off? He said, no, they just don't bother to look. So it's really very useful. And I hope before I go off the air with you, I will be able to tell you.
Do it now. Whatever it is, do it now because we have 45 seconds.
Rock Creek Garden.
Oh, that's the name of the restaurant in D.C.?
Yes.
All right. The million-dollar question. How do you think consumers will react? 15 seconds. Marion Burroughs, when they see the calories, will they change their behavior?
Some.
Marion Nestle?
Some will, some won't. There's actually research that shows that some do.
Well, here's an
And the most behavior will change from the companies themselves.
Here's an email to end on that says, contrary to the health advice for people to eat small tuna that have not had a long enough life to bioaccumulate mercury, do something instead for the tuna. don't eat smaller tuna. They often haven't had enough time to reproduce, and therefore it's bad for the tuna species.
No, well, that's not that. That they're smaller species. They just never grow that big. It's not that they're babies.
Ah, okay. It's not like veal.
No.
So we will leave it there. Marion Burroughs, a reporter for the New York Times, author most recently of Cooking for Comfort. Her article on mercury and sushi is on the front page of the Times today. Marion Nestle, professor of nutrition, food studies, and public health at NYU, author of Food, Politics, and What to Eat. Thanks a lot, Marion.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.